Mr. Snowball, reel four. After the training, where did you go?
All over the country. Right, left, centre. Practically, you mentioned it, we were there. North, south, east or west. There was one particular time I had a gun that was stuck in the middle of the Solent. So the only way you could get out there was on a boat, a rowing boat. And this gun was on a boat.
It was on a boat in the Solent?
It was on a boat in the Solent, yes. The others were all on land, but that was the only one that was... And it would be me that had it, because I couldn't swim if anything had happened. But that's the only way you could get back to shore, was to use a rowing boat to get back. And there was nobody allowed on that water during the hours of darkness. So you couldn't go rowing across during the hours of darkness, otherwise your life would be shot. And
that would be down, as you say, that would be on the south coast. Is that right?
On the south coast, that was on the south coast, that's right. We were all up and down the south coast, all over the place. Cornwall, Devon, Lancashire, Yorkshire, we never knew where we were going.
The south coast was a pretty popular, if that's the right term, for the enemy aircraft. Did you get involved in firing on them?
Oh, yes, down at the south coast, definitely. They were coming up there probably every day, and that's why we were moving about from Worthing. We were at Brighton. In fact, there was one. It was humorous actually on Brighton. At Brighton we had one of our guns. Now, I was visiting it at the time, was on the roof of one of the high hotels. It was a flat roof, and had the gun on there. Actually, it would have been better if it had been on the promenade, because there was one day, this plane came in, just feet above the water. You never caught by radio, because it's too low down. And it was shot up over the top where the guns was, and in. He dropped his bomb, what he had. It was a fighter plane with just about one bomb on. And he come out again, and he came just above our heads on top of this thing, and he actually waved at us as he went over. And we couldn't even fire at him, because we couldn't get... He was straight down onto the sea, and we couldn't get the gun load the trajectory that we wanted to fire at him. By the time we got to that trajectory, he was so far out. But there was two Spitfires came just shortly after that. They went out, and when they came back, they did the victory roll. So we knew then that he'd been caught. But it was, he actually smiling and waved to us as he went over the top of us.
Do you recall any other incidents whilst on the south coast? With aircraft, enemy aircraft?
Not particularly interesting. Nothing like that. It was just a case of, it came in very low. But of course, the guns normally, this was the only gun I can remember that was so high up on the top of these, where they had the Conservative Conference, those good big hotels on the roof. It was flat. And that's the only occasion I can tell.
Was it a problem to deflect the gun when they were coming in so low, even on the bottom?
Yeah, on the bottom, no. Yeah, you could deflect it right down. If you're on the promenade, you're on sea level. So you had a good chance. But the trouble is, they were coming in so low, I don't think the radar could catch them. So you sort of didn't know, you heard it, and then...
Was this daylight raids?
Daylight raids. The when we came to Tunbridge Wells, we were all stationed there for quite a while, but we didn't know at the time. But that south coast and way up was one vast army camp, ready for the invasion.
Before we get to that, whilst we're still on the south coast and you were defending it, as you say, you got no warnings of these aircraft coming in. How were you able to get to the gun, or was there a standing crew on the gun all day?
No, you just had to get out there. Sometimes you could hear them coming in, you say, from a distance. And you could get on all right. But
you could get out as fast as that?
You could get on to fire at them, yes, definitely. And there was definitely one destroyed and one, would think, was destroyed. But
where were you accommodated on the coast?
In the hotels, they were up on that one on the roof was up on there. They were up on there, and that's where they slept. And that's where they stopped.
So there's in effect seaside buildings that were brought in.
You couldn't get on the beach because it was all barbed wire off, and one thing and another there.
Were the civilians still around at that time?
Yeah, there were still civilians around at that time. But
it must have been some excitement.
Not so many, because, of course, they were expecting these planes every day coming across.
There must have been some excitement for you to be involved in these.
It was exciting, yes. This is why I say it was more exciting than the suicides, actually, because at least you felt as though you were doing something, firing at them.
Were you in a situation where you saw the result of enemy bombing at all in your vicinity?
Enemy bombing? Oh, yes, you could see it in various places you went when the bombs came down. You could see the damage that had been caused after that.
And that must have been quite an appalling sight for you.
Well, it was. Sometimes we had to go and help in the ruins to look for people and things like this.
You were called out to do that?
Called out to do that, yeah.
Do you recall any civil casualties, sorry? And
oh, there was there was casualties, definitely. But you just had to get on with it. There was all the ARP wardens and everybody was there, and troops from different places were there helping out. While we were at Tunbridge Wells.
Yes, sir. I know you were. Was there at some point in this time when you were doing this work that you were being prepared for the torch landings in North Africa?
No. No.
You weren't part of that.
Not that we know of.
Not I know you didn't go.
We were never told we were doing that. We were never told we were doing that.
So after moving around the countryside, as you say, even back up to the north of England area, you finished up at Tunbridge Wells.
That's right, the Tunbridge Wells.
And what were you doing there?
More or less just training all day, every day. While we were there, the first buzz bomb came across. We didn't know what on earth it was, because the noise it was making, it was night time. And we're all laying down. And we heard this terrible noise, and we're like, what on earth's that? Never heard anything like it before. And then you looked up and you saw a flame coming out, and quite low down. And they were the first ones that was going across to London. And I thought to myself, you know, we could shoot half of them down. They would never get to London. But I thought since, if we'd done that, if we'd been able to do that, that would probably given the position away of that the south coast was a big, vast area preparing.
That must have been quite a sight, the build-up on the south coast whilst you were down there.
Well, you didn't say a great lot of it, actually, because you were stuck in your own place called Southwark, actually, between Tunbridge Wells and Tonbridge, and we were there. Where the tanks and that were, of course, and other things, we didn't know. We weren't told anything like that. That secrets.
Yes, you're saying that you have this intense training. What form was it taking?
just what we'd already been doing, training to get the guns in action, and then we had to start and get the things ready for going in water, so that your lorry had to be all done, the engine and everything, so if it went in water, it didn't stop.
You How kept, was that done?
You kept going. It was more or less wrapped up. That's the only way I can put it, wrapped up. There was an awful lot to do with it. And your gun as well, of course, so that you could, that would be kept working in working order. We didn't know at the time, of course, where we were going, what was happening.
You must have sensed that something big was coming up.
We sensed something was on, because then, after we'd been there quite a month or two, we had to leave, and we thought we were just going on another long convoy somewhere else. But actually, we went to London, to the Thames. That's where we were going on the boat. And as we were going through London, the both bombs were keep coming across all the time. And as long as you could hear that engine, you knew you were all right. You could watch them. But as soon as that stopped, perpendicular died, straight down. And going through London, the people were magnificent. They were raiding cake shops, bringing them out to all of us, and going back after to pay for them. You know, you could see a cake shop empty and in a crack. They were bringing all kinds out, because they knew then where we were bound for.
Did you ever at any time get the chance to fire at the buzz bomb?
No.
V1?
Not them, not the V1s, no. Because we weren't allowed to, as I say, Tunbridge Wells, and of course we couldn't very well in convoy fire at them. So we left London, left the Thames, and going through the Straits of Dover, there had not to be a sound made, because the guns were at Calais, and they could hear with their equipment anything that was going on. If a spanner was dropped, we didn't even speak. And you're down at, you couldn't even hear the engine of the ship. You know, it was so quiet going through there, because you had to be careful, because you could have brought fire on, because they were hitting Dover, so they could hit in the Straits of Dover easy.
What boat were you travelling on?
It was a cargo ship, and we were all, the guns were all on deck, and we were all in the holds down there. And
had D-Day gone in by now?
D-Day had gone in then. We were on the way. And we wondered where on earth we were going at first, because we seemed to be such a long time on the water. And I thought, well, if we're going over there, we should be there by now. But we didn't know there'd been a heavy storm at Normandy, knocking the piers and everything out of the bits. And I think we must have been just going round and round in circles. We never saw any land. Never saw any land, and it was quite calm and everything where we were. But that's what has been the matter. We were all, there must have been loads of us queuing up, waiting for this weather to subside so that we'd get in.
Do you remember how many days you were on the boat?
I think we were on the boat about a week. That's why we couldn't understand where we were going.
And how did you cope with that? I mean, it must have been both monotonous on the one.
Well, you did exercises and things like that on the boat, you know, and pass your time away like that.
That's this PT exercise, that kind of exercise.
Things like that, yeah.
Was it a British boat or American?
British boat. British boat.
How did they look after you, the crew, on that week?
Oh, we were all well looked after, because you had we had our own cooks with us as well. So, and you had these compo packs which served one man for 7 days or seven men for 1 day. That's the way they were.
And what was in those packs?
Oh, all kinds. Tinned food. Your porridge was a little square cube, hard as can be. But once it was mixed with water out your water bottle, it was lovely porridge. But it was cold, of course, but that's the way it was.
Have they given you any talks or lectures prior to sailing about France and how to get on there, and the French customs and money?
No.
They didn't give you French francs for when you landed?
Yes, we had French francs while we were over there, yeah. I've got some there that when we were coming away, I got every man in the troop to sign it, and I've still got it.
Were you a leader of a gun crew at this point in time?
No, I was a troop.
You were a troop?
Sergeant Major, there were six guns. When we finally got over there, there was four of us came down the side netting into a landing craft with a company of guards, or a part of a company of guards. They'd had a short service on the boat the night before we were due to land. And when you went in with the landing craft as far as it could take you, and then you waded the rest of your way in. But by the time we got on the shore, I'm afraid it got too dark for the fetch the other lot off, our lot. So we had to stick on the beach there all night, waiting for them coming off at dawn the next morning. And
what are your memories of the beach as you approached it and began to land?
Well, there were shells still landing and that, but it was just another beach. I mean, you didn't know exactly. You could see beyond the beach where there was sand dunes and things. And
were there any bodies around?
No.
No. And the congestion on the beach with landing all the time.
It was pretty good, because they were coming off. I mean, once our unit came off, we were straight away in towards the front. And everybody was the same. I mean, there was no hanging about. You had your men there, provost police, doing the job just the same, getting these crews, these things off the boats and off the landing craft and away. That's, you go that way, you go that way. The officers knew where they were going.
What were your feelings approaching the beach and knowing, well, look, I'm going to be shot at over
pretty,
here?
Not very nice. Because I thought the night before, when they were having the service, not the guardsmen were having the service, and I went and joined in, and they were singing "Abide With Me." And I wondered how many of them lads, myself included, how many of us were going to come back. You know, you things like that running through your head. You didn't know who was going to come back and who wasn't going to come back.
Did you have thoughts of home and what they would be
doing? Oh, yes, yes. And all you got was a little postcard. I've got one here somewhere. Yeah. With things written on, I am okay, I am not well, I have been wounded, things like that. You crossed out, which was nothing, and I sent one home, because it had to go through the officers, and they had to sign it to say it was okay to be sent. No addresses on it, nothing, you say.
Your mail would be censored, no doubt.
Oh, it was censored, yes.
Who did that task?
The officers. The officers did that.
And your mail would be amongst those that, of course, would go through an officer?
Oh, yes, all went through an officer. That's why when you first went over to Normandy, all we got, we couldn't write letters. We just had this little card. And you put on... You crossed out what wasn't right. Say, I am well. But you couldn't... It didn't say where you were.
Do you remember the date you landed?
25th of June at Corsoules, Juno Beach. That's where we landed, and when we landed, we went straight from there towards Bayeux, and then Cannes. Where am I?
So what happened next? You've landed and you're moving off.
You're moving off towards Bayeux and then Cannes. And we were just outside of Cannes. We had the places there where, as I say, I took two guns, the officers took two guns each, and we found places for them. And you went on there and you were waiting for enemy aircraft.
Did you get a lot of activity, a lot of actions?
There wasn't too much. Sometimes at night you would get something coming over, dropping. It happened actually when we were on the boat. Before we got landed, you could hear the bombs come down and go into the water and explode in the water. Fortunately, it missed the boats altogether. But it was there where I had the near miss in Normandy.
And what was that? What happened to you then?
I was going, we'd already placed the guns, and I was going around to visit them, which we did, saying everything was all right. And it was night time, and I was on a motorbike with a crash helmet on, so you couldn't hear much. And I stood going along this cart track, that's all it was, a cart track. I saw tracer shells coming from my right. And I thought, oh my Lord, these are going to hit me. I could say the way they were coming, we were going to sort of mate. And something turned my throttle up. I don't know what happened, but my hand went up and the bike shot forward. And how on earth I wasn't hit, I do not know. And when I stopped, I heard a voice behind me, and I heard it was Sergeant Blake. He said, "That's the luckiest you'll ever be." And I thought he was talking about the aircraft, and I turned around to agree with him, and I'm looking straight down the muzzle of the Bofors gun, because it was lowered, ready to fire on this plane. The ammunition was in, the lad's foot was on the pedal, and if he pressed that pedal, why, my head would have gone, and probably half the crew as well, because the shell would have gone off. And I fell off my bike with a shock. And fortunately, as I said, this rope was on the lad's ankle, and the sergeant had it, and he'd seen what had happened, and he pulled. And that's what he meant by, you'll never be as lucky again. I thought he was talking about the plane, but he wasn't. He was talking about the gun.
How far were you from the front landing, in fact? Because this is the time when Cong was being quite an obstacle. There was
it
heavy
was
fighting
an obstacle. It was a big obstacle down there, and that's at the particular time when we got taken off. Our guns were put in the storage, and we were put in the line at Tilly-sur-Soules as infantry, because they were hard pressed at that particular time in other areas, and they were wanting to use as much infantry as they possibly could. But mind, the foxholes and that were all dug, ready for us to get in. But all we had, of course, was rifles and bayonets. We didn't have a brain gun, a machine gun, a mortar. All I had was a revolver, and the officers had revolvers. So if there had been an attack, I don't know how we would have stopped them. Mind, there was a few tanks and a couple of fields behind us, because a machine gun used to come every night at the edge of this forest that was about 50 yards away, and it used a fire. You spray fire around, you know. You had to keep your head down. And one night, there was a tank came from behind there, and it went down right to where this gun was. We saw the gun point, and he's still firing. These lads must have been a brave lads, or they were foreigners and being made to do it by the Germans. They were still firing when he fired one shell right you're only yards from them, right in the middle of that gun crew. Never heard any more of it.
So you're, in effect, you were there to relieve infantry.
We were there to relieve infantry, so the regular infantry that were there could go and help the sore-pressed brigade in other places.
What was the scenes around that area that you were in? It had been, again, a hard-fought area, hadn't it?
There was lots of dead cattle and that in the fields. The smell was terrible. And as I say, this wood, you didn't know exactly whether the Germans were actually in the wood. I think they must have been, because there was a sniper there. And what was beyond, you didn't know.
You couldn't see very far, presumably.
Pardon?
You couldn't see very far ahead. Is that
no, just about 50 yards or so, there was the beginning of this wood. So you couldn't sort of see what was... You couldn't see any movement. But as I say, during the day, you then put your head above the top, hardly, you know, because of this sniper. There might have been more than one.
Were you under shell fire at any
point? Yes, heavy mortar fire and artillery fire, yes.
What was that like to experience for the first time?
Terrible. Terrible to hear these things come screaming across. And there was some of them landing. Some of them landing not very far away. So, I mean, you could see the roughing, you only hoping that nothing came in the little hole where you were with another man. There was just two in each foxhole. And as you heard them screaming over, you wondered, oh, where's this one going, where's this one going?
But this was a pretty new experience for you.
It was a brand new experience. We never experienced anything like it before. And
what can you do about it? I mean, what do you do?
We couldn't do anything, but wait there. As I say, we weren't really equipped to go on an attack when they knew we couldn't go on the attack. And if they had come to advance, I don't think we would have been able to stop them, because all we had was rifles, bayonets, revolvers, and that was it.
Did you suffer any casualties?
We did. One. The lorry come up with our haversacks and things in, and he went past the field where we were. He missed the opening. And he went a little bit further up, he hit a mine. And the driver, in a panic, I think, and things, he'd got out, because his passenger must have probably been killed, because the mine was on that side. And he got out and he was running back towards where we were. And he just dropped. He had a bullet right in the temple. I mean, there must have been cracking shots, because one shot, and that did it. And he was lying there ages. He went to the battery sergeant major, tried to crawl up to have a look and see, and he could see where he'd been shot. And he had his ring shot off. He was very, very, very lucky. He was just crawling along the hedgerow, and the sniper must have caught a glimpse of that ring, and it fired.
Must have been very stressful for people who weren't trained for this.
It was very stressful indeed. After what has happened to me with the aircraft, ME-109 fighter plane, plus looking down the barrel of your own gun that was fully loaded, and then going up there and having this to do, it did a lot of damage, as far as I'm concerned. Did a lot of damage.
It's emotional.
Emotional damage, yes. I mean, the nerves were shot to pieces. From then on, I wasn't much good. I was in and out of the hospitals and things, but we came back home.
Before we do that, living in the foxholes, how did you do that? The normal period of getting through a day?
Very, very difficult. As I say, you got your combo packs and things at night, but everything you wanted to do, you had to do it in that hole. That's all. That's, you couldn't come out and say go to the toilet or anything like that. It was in the hall. The den had come out. And it was very difficult.
How long were you there in that position?
About a week. About a week. And then we were coming under such heavy fire that we were brought back about half a mile.